Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle. The Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is your only reward. We've got the whole crew here today, as we always do. Nick, Brian, Scott, Kelly. Say hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, ho.
¿Qué pasa?
How's it going?
And I'm your host, Andy. We've got a wonderful trivia today. Taking a trip back in time, but not too far. Think backpacks, pencils, maybe a chalkboard or two. Any ideas?
I definitely have an idea.
Yeah, well, sure.
This is a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, that's
what this is.
That's true.
But school days.
We're going to get there.
Yes.
That's right. School days indeed. But as we always do, we're going to get to a question a week. This one comes in via Facebook from a Kathy M. If you could go back to any age or any moment in your life and relive it, not to change anything per se, but just to get to experience it again, what would you choose? And as always, why would you choose that one? Anybody ready?
I'm ready. I guess I gotta preface this, not including my wedding day, not including the birth of my first child or my second child.
I'm glad you threw your second child in there.
If I could relive, we'll call it a year, my freshman year of college, present company excluded, met some of my closest friends, still are very close, and I have fond memories just about any time I think about to that year. Of course, you're kind of experiencing your freedom for the
first
time.
Yeah, culture shock of sorts.
Yeah, you live your life how you want to. You want to stay up till 3 and get up at 6 or, you know, get up at 2 p.m. the next day, you can. Yeah. You want to skip class, you skip class, you know, and so on and so forth. So went to college in Texas, 100 miles east of Dallas, and that was kind of the big city where we'd go to concerts, go do things. So, yeah, I mean, that was... I mean, I still think about that year sometimes. So that would definitely be what I would do.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You don't come off as somebody who skipped a lot of classes, Doc.
Well,
you just could if you wanted to, right?
So for this PE class I was in.
Wait, in college?
In college.
There was a PE class.
Oh, yeah,
in
you
got to
take a couple of them.
That's a thing?
Yeah, I did a golf class. I think I did a bowling or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I took a couple classes I didn't even know I took.
The athlete of the group.
So I went into, I don't know, it was the end of the semester. I very, very rarely went to class. It was an 8 a.m.
Really?
Weightlifting class.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah.
And the second one was weightlifting.
Yeah. Right. Well, so many mistakes.
He was a wrestler, so I guess he thought he would continue that lifestyle.
So I went to talk to the PE teacher, the teacher of that class, and he just said, how about a B?
Oh, well, really?
Deal. I said, deal.
Yep.
Solid.
Right, yeah. So I did skip a few, yeah.
Freshman year of college, I got to believe that is a common answer around the world.
Sure.
For those that experience it for all the reasons you just said.
Especially back in the
90s. Taste that freedom. Yeah.
Back in the 1900s.
Yeah, right. The savage era of the 90s. Brian, what do you think there?
I think I'm going to go December 01.
Wow.
I love the specificity of it.
Through February of 03.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
This is right after I graduated college. Kelly and myself had ourselves a year.
Oh,
a few years.
But that was the first year with no jobs, just hanging out, having good times. That was a great time in my life.
Is this when you lived together?
No, this is actually before that.
Okay.
I was right out of college.
Having a hard time doing the math with no jobs.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time reading.
Arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts. We did a lot of arts and crafts.
Learned to knit.
Yep. Yeah, we spent a lot of time at the libraries in Belleville and Muscoota, that kind of thing. So that was it was a good year of my life. And
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it because he probably shaved a few years off on the back end.
Exactly.
I love how he calls it a good year, and he says 01 to 03. Yeah. But it was a good year.
It was like a year and a couple months. Yeah, you know, I got you.
We fit enough into those 2 years for a lifetime of people, I believe.
Yes, that's a fact.
Probably good answer.
Nicholas, what do you think?
I really didn't get much of a 20s because I had a child very young at the age of 22.
Idiot.
But, I mean, Scott already took early college, so I want to step on that one. I mean, which it was great. Joined the military early. Kind of, I mean, high school was awesome. It was great. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. But I also think about, you know, even grade school playing baseball. Mm-hmm. It just... not a care in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I became an adult really fast.
Yeah.
So the idea, you know, like you said, Scott, not including my wedding or the birth of all four of my children, you know, just a time when you were carefree. Responsibility wasn't even a word in my vocabulary at the time.
No, didn't need to be.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah. I mean, high school, you have a little bit of responsibility, but when I think like junior high age and stuff like that, you're just playing sports. You go to school. It's not even about going to school. It's because your friends are there. And then you play sports after school, and you play sports every day, all summer long. You're at the pool, or you're playing wiffle ball.
Yep.
Those were magical times.
Yeah.
Magical times. Absolutely. So I might have to say, like, junior high going into high school instead of, you know, I don't want to take your – I didn't do college very long, and it was awesome. The freedom is great. Yeah. It was a blast. But I don't, like I said, I don't want to step on your toes with that. So I want to say more like the junior high going into high school, those are just great times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to go pretty predictable here, I think, what many people would suspect. And it is back to high school. I had an extraordinary high school experience, specifically the spring sports season of my junior year.
Okay.
Several things come to mind. First and foremost, my dad had just divorced his second wife, and there were no rules in my house. I mean, I lived as autonomously as a 16/17-year-old kid could. I made all my own money, so nobody could tell me yes or no when I wanted to do something. I did officially become romantically involved with my now wife that spring. And our high school baseball season, which was up until I met Sarah, the first love of my life from the time I could walk, we had a good season as a high school team. So that was just, you know, you're like just flying on top of the world.
Yeah.
You know, everything is just going your way.
Yeah.
At least it feels like it is.
And you don't really have any responsibilities.
Minimal responsibilities.
You know, I looked like an adult, sounded like an adult, maintained my own lifestyle as most adults would, but nobody takes you seriously. So nobody expects anything out of you.
It was a stress-free existence.
100% right.
Just school was not stressful. Carefree. Nothing was stressful. It was good days.
Good days. Well, I'm glad school is what's finishing out this conversation.
Well, Kelly hasn't gone yet, has he?
Oh.
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't.
Dang it. You were so engaged with and involved with Brian's memory, it felt like you went. Let's hear it.
That was a good one that I don't remember most of. Nah, I think I would go back to like summer 91 before junior high school. Still lived on Scott Air Force Base. Just hanging out with my friends. No care in the world. Summertime. You wake up. You go ride your bikes. We go to Scott Lake. Find a hill to jump off. Come home. Play basketball. Play baseball all day long. Come home when the street lights came on. And I had a goal, and we lived on a cul-de-sac, so there was a street light right there. So we would play basketball until my neighbors called my mom to say, hey, would that kid quit dribbling that ball? It's 11:30. And that was just that carefree kid.
Yeah. That served well in life.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah. Street lights just came on. That was the standard. Man, we grew up in savage times, didn't we? The 80s and 90s.
Lawless.
Lawlessness.
Lawless.
You know, see ya in the morning. Be home by the time the street lights come on. How many times do you get a drink of water out of a hose, a random hose?
All the time. You know? All the time.
All the time.
You didn't go inside the house. You weren't allowed to. You weren't allowed to. I'm thirsty. You can't come in here to get that.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't have your friends in the house.
No, go find a spigot.
So you just, you know, man, I've never felt more 40, but I've also never been more proud to be 40 at the same time. Yes.
It was a good era.
In my 40s, actually.
Kids today have no idea how good we had it.
Yeah.
Shout out to my friends Reggie, Brandon, and Wes.
I love it.
The trio.
Nice.
I like it.
What was it again?
Reggie, Brandon, and Wes.
Nice. You have any contact with any of the three?
Two of them have passed away, actually.
Oh,
I've still talked to my friend Reggie occasionally, mm-hmm. but he lives out in Florida, I believe. He left shortly after that time period.
I see.
Way to put a downer on it.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kathy, for submitting a question that helped me learn again about my friends that I've known forever here. So if you want to submit a question to the crew and have us answer it and discuss, then by all means, please do so. Any of the social media outlets would be sufficient, or send it directly to our email address at theultimatetriviapodcast@gmail.com. Get ready to sharpen those pencils, fellas. Grab your notebooks, aka whiteboards. Today's trivia is back to school.
All right.
And we have chosen a fifth grade curriculum today, specifically.
Oh, this is going to be embarrassing.
Oh, it's a lose-lose.
It's going to be embarrassing.
This is the equivalent of fighting an elderly person.
Yes, you're right.
You're expected to win.
If you win, you lose. And if you lose, you really lose.
Yes.
Right?
We're expected to know these things.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and after each answer, we should discuss whether or not it's relevant in our lives today.
Ooh, good call.
I like that. I like that. That's good. Well, a typical fifth grade curriculum covers a wide range of subjects designed to build foundational knowledge. In math, students learn about geometry, including angles and shapes, as well as basic operations with fractions and decimals. Science classes often explore ecosystems, energy, and the basics of our solar system. Hey, we've done that already. Social studies focuses on American history, with an emphasis on the founding of the United States and key historical figures. You guys paying attention? Because we're dropping little hints on what's coming here.
I didn't pay attention then. I'm not doing it now.
Language arts helps students develop their reading comprehension, vocabulary, and writing. And finally, the basic principles of physics, biology, and earth science are covered across the sciences.
I went to a Catholic grade school. Is there any Bible stuff in this one?
No, we're sticking public realm on this one. All right. Went to that same school. Don't forget, I got kicked out.
Well, I made it through all the way through.
You're
so I'm at a disadvantage. I'm going to put that out there now.
They didn't cover any public
things? No, just Jesus.
Only creationism. Jesus. There was nothing.
7:30 to 2:30, whatever it was all Jesus.
And then Noah, discovered gravity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right, fellas, you guys ready? You got a comment over there, Norwood?
Nope.
All right, let's do it. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game, and we're headed back to school. Here's how it works. I'll read the questions. You'll all write your answers on your whiteboards, and when I say reveal, you'll show your answers. If you get it right, you earn a point. If you get it wrong, boys, I beg you, you got to get relentless. This is a fifth-grade curriculum. Let's see who ends up on top today. Nicholas on the scoreboard.
Yep, yep.
Question number one. It'll be in the math realm. I will announce the category each time.
Oh, boy.
Let's solve a geometry puzzle.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
What's the total number of degrees in the angles of any triangle you can draw? Kelly is done.
Let's read it one more time.
Let's solve a geometry puzzle. What's the total number of degrees in the angles of any triangle you can draw? I don't want you to get hung up on the question. You draw a triangle, has three angles. What's the sum of those three angles?
Kelly answered that really fast.
Really fast. You got a hundo on that over there?
Yeah.
Attaboy. Damn. Doc?
Feeling good.
Yeah, baby. I don't feel good about any of this. No.
As a former educator, specifically a math educator, I'm going to be very proud if this room gets this right.
Dang it.
All right, we got Brian with an answer. He's eyeballing Nick, I think, so the challenge accepted. Let's see him. We've got 90 from Nick, 180 from Scott, from Kelly, 270 from Brian. The answer is 180 degrees.
I was trying to picture it in my head, Yeah.
Equilateral, isosceles, obtuse.
Yeah, keep going.
Acute.
Acute.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
Equiangular, which is, never mind. I don't want to nerd out too hard and make your brains turn to mush.
Too late.
I know. Triangles are the building blocks of many shapes and structures, from the pyramids of Egypt to the trusses and bridges. The sum of the angles being 180 degrees is a fundamental property that helps engineers and architects design stable structures. Without this rule, who knows what the world might look like. Triangle, believe it or not, is the strongest of all the polygons. So yeah. If you ever need to build something out of popsicle sticks or whatever, you know, just for a game or whatever, triangles is the way to go.
Pyramids. Yeah, I knew that answer in cubits. Not, yeah, that's how we were taught it.
I see.
Cubits, yeah.
And cubits, yes. That's your religious version
yes,
or whatever.
Exactly. And to what Scotty brought up earlier, how often do you use this in real life?
Well, if you are...
If you build stuff.
Yeah, if you build stuff, I really hope they know that.
It would depend heavily on what field you're in.
Not driving over that bridge.
Yeah, true. Right. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Engineers, architects... You know, all different types and varieties of professions that use that specifically.
I have to use the Pythagorean theorem in my job.
Do you?
Yeah. Really?
To measure the volume of a cone. You can figure the slant of a cone, you know, the height of it.
Yeah.
Figure the radius of
it. Why do you need to know a cone in your job?
Measuring grain bins.
They're made of cones? Oh, I guess the top is, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
There you go.
You figured it out.
I got that.
Wow.
Yeah, one for me. I get one.
Funny part when they talk about the bridge.
Yeah.
A bunch of termites holding hands.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to question number two, where we will be tackling English. If you're looking for a word that means the exact opposite of another, what's the fancy learning term for that word? We're looking for the opposite. If you're looking for a word that means the exact opposite of another, what's the fancy term for that? Nick, you were real quick.
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
What would you have considered your strongest subject throughout your childhood education?
PE.
Okay.
PE.
Core subject, maybe.
Yeah.
And the New Testament. Science.
I was not good at none of them. No, I was not good at school.
You just didn't feel good about school.
No, PE. That was my best subject.
All right. We got boards ready to go. If you're looking for the opposite of a word, what is the official and fancy name for that? Let's see it. Antonym from Nick, Scott, Kelly. And Brian refuses to show me his board.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I swear to God, antonym was the first thing that popped in my head. But I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Oh, that was the first thing.
That's got to be better than leaving it blank.
I know.
Right?
And that honestly, that is the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have worded it down, I guess.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, what's the correct answer, Andrew?
The correct answer is, in fact, antonym.
All right.
Yeah, my bad.
Brian should have did the opposite, though.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We got a real George moment
exactly
here. Yeah. The opposite. Yeah. It's opposite.
Now, that's a word I do not use in real life. Antonym?
Yeah, I even tend to be verbose, and I don't think I've used that word.
No, I don't think I've ever used it in a sentence.
If I did, Scott would look at me and be like, hey, would you have a word of the day calendar today?
I think we've covered that once already.
I like that.
You would just say the opposite, probably.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, that's what people know, right? Well, words are powerful tools that help us express our thoughts. This is very evident in a fifth grade education where in English they are starting to use more expressive language. Antonyms are like knowing how to switch gears in a conversation, and it would be pretty boring if everything was just positive and creative.
Hmm. Also helps you understand the opposite word.
That's true.
Okay.
What's the antonym of opposite?
Similar?
Or same, even.
Same, yeah.
Okay.
Is that going to be a new segment where we apply what we're learning?
I like that idea, actually. Very much. All right, question number three. And we're going to enter the art room. What are the three primary colors on the traditional artistic color wheel that cannot be made by mixing other colors? Remember your color wheel. There's primary, secondary, tertiary. We want the three that are primary colors. Nobody seems all that confident. Scott looks like he's finished writing. Yep, okay. Brian's running through him. Kelly, I never see actually write. I think he just uses his eyes to, like, etch the board somehow.
I wrote down the right answer.
Okay, oh. Attaboy. Nick, no confidence?
I think.
Okay.
I think. All right. It's hard to just feel confident about any of this right now.
You just, it's like, is it all a trap?
Like, if you feel confident about it and then you're wrong, you just feel like,
then you really feel like a
dumbass,
rough.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all.
Language. Remember you had projection TVs and there were three bulbs?
That's what I was trying to think of. I was picturing that.
So the wording here actually matters a lot because it talks about the traditional artistic color wheel. And in the digital age, it doesn't necessarily vibe with what we're talking about here. So you can dive down your own.
I feel even worse now.
Yeah, okay, let's go. Let's see the boards. Primary colors, yellow, green, blue from Brian. Yellow, blue, red from Kelly. Red, blue, yellow from Scott. Red, blue, yellow from Nick. We do have red, blue, and yellow as the correct answer.
I thought you said you can't make the color.
You can't. Blue, you make green.
Blue and yellow make
blue and yellow.
So yeah. who had a Ziploc commercial?
Who had red?
Kelly,
you make red.
Scott, and Nick had each get a point. Brian.
Did you make red? Oh, okay.
You can't make red.
I left red out because I thought you could make red.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yellow and blue make green.
Yellow and blue make green.
Yeah.
All right.
That's with a shot.
Well, the primary colors are the building blocks of every shade, tint, and hue you can imagine. Without them, we'd be stuck in dull, colorless world. And artists rely on these three colors to mix everything from a fiery orange to a cool, calming green. Fun fact, Sir Isaac Newton is credited with creating the first circular color wheel in the 17th century. Hmm. File that away in your trivia wheel. Newton did a lot. Once I saw that, I kind of nerded out a little bit.
Sure.
He really provided the world with quite a lot of what we use today.
Yeah. Smart fella. Yeah, I definitely used the old school projector to answer this one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the projector in the classroom?
No, the old school TV projectors.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The rear. Yes.
Yeah. There was three lights, and those were the three colors.
You're right.
Because you can blend them too.
Ours went out one time. We had to take the TV apart, and me and my dad fixed it.
You had to put new bulbs in.
Yeah.
Weird. Great stories.
Yeah. I don't think he means that.
No.
Question number four, entering the science realm. Sunshine and green leaves. What magical process do plants use to whip up their own food using sunlight? Kelly is quick on his. I think he's feeling good. He does think like a 10-year-old, so.
Fifth grade was a breeze. Yeah.
Especially the third time you did it. Nick's struggling.
I can't think of the word.
Scotty, you like it?
I got an answer. Feel pretty good.
All right. Brian?
Yeah, we'll see.
We're working on it.
Read it again. Oh, I got it. But we'll
see. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sunshine and green leaves. What magical process do plants use to whip up their own food using sunlight?
Blanking hard.
Wow. I can't make a joke because I promised I am no longer punishing Nick.
Oh, for not remembering things?
I don't know.
Andy, you're lucky I did not make the same promise.
I can't think of the word.
All right. Everybody else is ready. How do plants make their own food with sunlight? Let's see the boards. Photosynthesis from the three participants. That is the correct answer. Brian, Kelly, and Scott get a point. I thought I might see a chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll.
Thank you, boys.
That's what I was thinking
was
the whole time.
Playing it up.
I was thinking that the whole time.
Yeah. Well, that's where the photosynthesis happens. So yeah. There you go.
I will not make out with you.
Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Hey. All right. Photosynthesis is like nature's own cooking show, where plants take sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide to create the energy they need to grow. It's an incredible process that powers almost all life on Earth, and without it, we wouldn't have oxygen to breathe or food to eat. Ready for question number five? We're heading into social studies. With a gift as grand as it is green, which European country gave the United States the iconic Statue of Liberty as a symbol of friendship? Ooh, lots of quick answers here. I'm confident in the room.
History, social studies.
Yeah, that is your jam, brother. I like that. With a gift as green as it is grand. Wait, I've read that backwards. With a gift as grand as it is green, which European country gave the United States the iconic Statue of Liberty as a symbol of friendship? Let's see it. We got France all the way around. Nice job,
good
fellas.
Job.
1 point for everybody, as that is the correct answer.
We.
Anybody been up in the head
nope.
of the Statue of
Never
Liberty?
Never seen it.
No.
When I was there, it was closed. We could just do Why? Look at it through a ferry. I don't remember. It was 2004.
They heard you were coming.
Possibly.
They're nervous. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Post
9/11. I don't know if that had something to do with it. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I've been to France, but I've never seen the Statue of Liberty.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then you have a different perspective.
Proud to be an American.
You can get a good look at a steak.
Stick your head up there.
Scotty, have you been to New York before?
Nope.
No. Anybody? Well, you were in New York, no. You said.
Cards, Yankees.
Oh, that's right.
Been to Cooperstown, but I've never been like New York City or anything.
New York yeah. City. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot smaller than I would have imagined. It's on a large pedestal, of course, but, you know, we live outside of St. Louis, as we have touched on many times. The Arch is a very, very tall monument. You just kind of assume everything's that big, but, yeah, Statue of Liberty is really not very tall.
Thanks a lot, France.
Yeah, man. Come on. You got to step up.
We're going to go cheap.
Right. So the Statue of Liberty isn't just a landmark, it's a symbol of freedom and friendship that has greeted millions of immigrants arriving in the United States. Crafted by French sculptor Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi, I'm very confident I got
good
that
job.
Right.
I like that.
And given as a gift in 1886, there are two genuine statues considered genuine, original. The original and most famous, of course, is the one located on Liberty Island. The second is in Paris, France, mm-hmm. and was a reciprocal gift from the United States in 1898. It only stands 38 feet 9 inches tall, a.k.a. 11.5 meters, which is a quarter-scale replica of the one they gave us. So they gave us something huge, and we said, we're going to shrink down and give it right. back to you.
Yeah.
Almost like a re-gift.
A little bit.
Yeah, not terribly different.
Not very original, at least.
All right, Nick, that takes us to question number 5, and we are looking for a score update.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
All right. Well, here we go. Currently, Brian is in last with 2. I have 3. Scott and Kelly doing very well. 5 for 5.
5 out of 5.
5 for 5.
Neck and neck.
5 for 5 in fifth grade knowledge.
Do you feel like, I'm going to ask each one of you, we'll start with Scott. Do you feel like you've earned your 5 for 5? Or did you have a guess in there that kind of landed your way?
No, confident on all of them.
Good. Kelly, same question.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Woo, baby. Okay.
The cockiness.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're perfect, you can flex.
They should be.
That's right. All right. We're moving on.
I was 100% both questions I got right.
All right. Question number 6. We are heading back into biology, science.
Don't know much.
That's right.
Nice.
Deep inside every cell, there's an energy powerhouse keeping everything running smoothly. What's the name of this vital organelle? If you were paying attention, Kelly already gave it.
And he said this. And now I can't remember.
One more time. What?
Wow.
I know. I couldn't keep it together. I'm like, what are you doing?
He said it?
He said it earlier. And I can't remember it now. I heard him too.
Deep inside every cell, there's an energy powerhouse keeping everything running smoothly. What's the name of this vital organelle? I think Kelly probably knows the answer because he almost read this question word for word. That's when he dropped hilarious. His knowledge.
Organelle. And I have a terrible memory, obviously, because I don't remember you saying anything about this.
Yeah. It was like 240 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. Scotty, where are you at there, brother? Capping a marker.
Just trying to spell.
Okay. That gives me hope. All right, Nick, you got nothing?
No, I wrote something down.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we are looking for the energy powerhouse inside the cell. Let's see the boards. Kelly's got mitochondria, as does Scotty. Nucleus from Nick. That's a good answer, actually.
Okay.
Mito something from Brian. I appreciate the effort, in fact. And if I could give you a half a point.
I heard mito, but I couldn't remember the rest of
it. I now remember you saying mitochondria.
Mitochondria.
Now I remember it.
I couldn't remember the rest.
I'm assuming that's the right answer.
It is the right answer.
I knew it was mito something.
I hope you got a showstopper for these guys.
Well.
Because they're running away with it.
Starting to get a little nervous.
Well, Nick's worried about his perfect game.
Yeah. No, Scotty's already got a perfect
Scotty's
game.
He's had
oh, okay.
Remember, movie quotes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Never mind.
Episode I don't remember, but obviously. Because I don't remember anything, but no, Scotty also has
certainly
the perfect
Titans.
Game. Yeah. There it is.
Well, the mitochondria are like the batteries of our cells, providing the energy needed for every action, from thinking to running a marathon. This tiny organelle is crucial to life, and without it, we'd all be running on empty. Now, there's a show out there. It's hosted by Will Smith. It's a very sciencey show. I think it's called something like One Small Rock or something like that. It's out on Netflix. And it talks about how our multi-celled organisms are an anomaly and that the random act that had to occur while all these single cells were eating each other is that one cell ate another cell, but it didn't consume it. It became a part of it. And that's where the mitochondria is believed to come from. That's one of my favorite science facts in all of the world. Do you know what show I'm talking about, Kelly?
It sounds familiar, but I'm not.
They interview a bunch of astronauts.
Yeah, no.
It's called One Small Rock or something like that.
That's
never heard of it.
I should have looked it up.
That's some alien stuff.
It's really cool. Yeah, that's right. That's awesome.
Not a Will Smith guy either, though. So maybe that's why I've never heard of it.
Maybe. He does a pretty good job narrating here. Yeah. That's all he does. It's his voice. He's the David Attenborough of
let's not
of what? Of this particular
do
program.
Do not compare him to David Attenborough. Please do not.
You better keep his name out his mouth.
The Midwest.
There it is. You should have slapped. You should have slapped Andy
that's
there, Brian.
That's very funny.
That was your opportunity to slap Andy.
Lord.
All right. We're going back to math for question number 7, boys. Ready? If you are running around a circular track, what is the name of the distance you would cover if you completed one full lap? What is the distance around something circular? I don't want you to get lost in the language.
There could be multiple answers to this.
Talking about a running track? Hmm. Let's be specific. A circular, like track and field track?
If that helps you.
I'm asking. I mean, what?
No, it would have to be truly circular. That would be oval, I guess.
In the distance?
The distance. What is the measurement?
One lap around the track.
One lap around a track. I don't understand where I'm going.
I don't understand.
Scott, do you understand what I'm asking?
It's in a
geometry
it's
term.
It's a geometry term.
Oh, I thought you were asking the distance around one lap around a track.
Yes.
I am. In any certain measure. I don't know what I did wrong here.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah. No, I don't want it to be wrong.
What am I missing?
Let me take all the track and all that out of it. If you had a circle and you wanted to measure the distance from one point all the way around the circle back to that point, what is that called?
Oh, okay. Around a circle.
A circular track is right. Circular.
Track's not a circle.
Well, When you said did you use the word distance or something like that? That's what threw me off.
The name of the distance, not how far, but the name.
I think I'm on the right place now.
The circular track. Okay, I'm glad we got there.
All right.
Scott, Scott's been with me the whole time.
I guess you're right away.
Okay.
Well, now I'm confused.
May help people out. So basically, what is it called when you measure the distance around a circle? What is that called?
Isn't that what I said?
Well, just the way you said it. When you said running around a track, like I was...
Yeah, okay. I was thinking
like
400 meters.
I was thinking the Olympics.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, 400 that's
is
the first
what you
place
had
I
on
went.
Your board, and I realized
where
that
I went
was
first.
A mistake. Yeah.
All right, whatever.
What is the measurement of the distance around the circle called?
We'll find out.
Just show me the boards. If it's too crazy, I'll just give everybody a point. It is circumference. Circumference. Dang it, Kelly, you're going to make me think on this one. Nick's got radius, which we know is incorrect.
That's incorrect.
God dang it, it is.
Circumference. Yeah.
Circumference is the right answer, but the circumference is the perimeter of the circle. And why does it have to be you? Because I don't want to give this to you because it's technically not correct, but it is also practically correct. This is going to have major implications on the outcome of this.
Well, yeah, because if that's correct for Kelly, it's still a tie ball game.
Scott, I know you to be a man of integrity. How do you feel about his answer?
Fine with it.
There's five of us. We can vote on it.
We could vote on it. Well, we know what? Kelly's vote.
Well, you know my vote. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. I'm good with it.
All right.
Point is awarded.
Oh, I don't get to say?
Well, we got four. Is it unanimous, Brian?
Yeah.
He's going to give him a vote. All right. So we will take it. The circumference is like a boundary of the circle's kingdom, encompassing everything within. From ancient times to modern geometry, this concept has been the key to understanding circles, whether you're measuring a tiny ring or Earth itself. Eratosthenes used the concept of the circle circumference to calculate the size of Earth back in 240 BC. That is nuts to me.
I just read that fact 2 days ago in a trivia game that I play.
Is that right? Like on your phone?
I did not guess the correct guy. It was multiple choice. I did not correct. I guess that.
What's his name,
Eratosthenes.
Yeah. Oh, and I just wanted to see if you could name it twice.
Yeah, well, on my sheet here, I have it like in the dictionary, phonetically sounded. Nice.
Smart.
All right.
There you go. All right. That was question number 7. We're moving on to question number 8. We are living back in the science world again. If you left water outside on a cold day, at what temperature in degrees Celsius would it start to freeze and turn into ice? The freezing point in Celsius is what we're looking for. Got that, Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
This is America.
Yep. Amen.
We don't do Celsius here.
We're one of, I think, only 3 countries that don't do Celsius.
So why are you asking a Celsius question?
Because we are hot in Russia, baby. We got to pander. No, I mean Celsius.
Mother Russia.
That's right. So we are looking for the...
You seem very confident, Brian.
I have no idea.
What is the temperature of the... why can't I get this out correctly?
I don't know.
If left outside, at what temperature in degrees Celsius would water begin to freeze and turn into ice?
So not Kelvin.
Correct.
Not absolute.
Excellent drop, by the way. Let's see it. We got 0 from Nick and Scott and Kelly and 7 from Brian.
Brian's a great number.
That's the best number.
It's a good number.
And a great name, evidently. Yeah. 0 is, in fact, the correct answer, and it's equivalent in Fahrenheit here in America.
32 degrees.
That's right. Yeah, there's not much to say here. Water freezing at 0 is one of those neat little facts that seems simple, but is critical for understanding the world around us. From the ice on your winter windows to the polar ice caps, the temperature is a key player in weather patterns and ecosystems across the globe.
So I have family in Australia, and when we would visit, or even when we talked to them over, FaceTime or whatever, they'll say, oh, it's so hot today. It's like 38 degrees.
Yeah, yes.
And my brain can't do that kind of math.
I know.
What does that equate to,
Anybody want to take a stab at the equation for the conversion? It's really funky.
No.
If you take a Celsius temperature and double it and add 32, it gets you close.
You're in the right arena.
22 degrees is like room temperature in Fahrenheit. So 44, 32, like 76. So it's slightly off, but that's a good gauge.
So from Celsius to Fahrenheit, you add 32, and then you multiply it times
5/7?
9/5.
9/5.
Whatever.
That's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It makes me think of the Nate Bargatze thing. George
Washington. How many feet in a mile? Yeah. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Yeah. Well, 5,028. It's a number everybody will remember.
That is such a great skit.
Check out the Nate Bargatze on SNL, guys.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Both times he did.
Yeah, the George Washington bit is great.
Very good. All right, that was question number 8. Where do we stand, Nicholas?
Brian's got 3. I have 4. Scott and Kelly still doing very well. They have 8 of 8.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to call it right now. We're going 10.
They're going 10?
They're both going 10.
Don't you put that on me.
Impressed me tremendously.
Don't you put that on me.
I'm putting it on you, Ricky Bobby.
That juju.
Wow.
This one will be the one, I think, if it gets you. We are back in the Art Center for question number 9. Michelangelo's David is one of the most famous sculptures in the world, but do you know what material he used to carve this masterpiece?
What it's carved out of?
What is,
or what he used to carve it? What material?
It is what the statue that stands, what is that made of?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Now we're really just scrutinizing the... Don't blame the questions, as Ross said. Michelangelo's David is one of the most famous sculptures in the world, but do you know what material he used to carve this masterpiece? Kelly, you wrote pretty quick, yeah?
Yeah.
Good? 100?
I think... No, I'm not going to say that.
Okay. Brian?
Not close.
Nothing down?
I mean, a few things rolled through my head. Yeah.
Anybody seen it with their own eyeballs?
No.
No, just pictures.
Yeah.
No.
Got to put that on the Euro trip list.
Always kind of focuses on one part of the...
Tends to. Yeah. There's some cool information about that, though, because it is specifically carved to be looked at from the ground up. So the proportions, if you look at it straight on, are off. Because you...
Oh, I thought maybe he just got out of the pool.
It's like those 3D chalk...
How do you guys live with those things?
Like a frightened turtle. No.
I don't think that's what I meant.
Oh, okay. I thought that's where you were going.
All right. So what material is David made of? Let's see those boards, gentlemen. Granite from Nick. Marble from Scott and Kelly. Stone from Brian. The correct answer is, in fact, marble, boys. Marble. You are on fire.
Definitely was not... 100% on that.
Sure. Well, what else was in the head? Granite? That was a popular one back then.
I actually thought limestone for a minute, but then I
was thinking maybe like phosphoring.
Oh, dynamite.
Maybe Samsonite.
Phosphoring. That's beautiful. Well, Michelangelo's David was carved from a single block of marble that had been abandoned by previous sculptors because it was considered too flawed to use. Michelangelo saw potential in the marble and worked on it for over 2 years, chiseling away to reveal the iconic 17-foot statue. The attention to detail is incredible, from the veins in David's hands to the intense expression on his face.
I had no idea it was that tall.
No, yeah. Neither.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
I thought it was like just life-size.
Life-size.
Like normal.
Yeah.
Michelangelo was quoted to say that he didn't ever actually create anything. There was a block of whatever material he was dealing with. The sculpture was in there. He just knocked all the parts away that didn't belong. I think that's kind of cool.
Just trying to be modest.
Huh? Yeah.
Artists.
Right. I didn't do anything. Yeah.
He sounds like he's arrogant. You're just saying that kind of stuff.
He's a flexer. All right.
I don't like him.
No. Yeah, I'm not a fan now. My favorite Ninja Turtle.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, the funniest by far, right?
I like Donatello.
What weapon did he use?
That doesn't surprise me. Nunchucks.
That's right. Donatello.
Bo staff.
Yeah.
Man.
That's some fifth grade trivia for you right there.
Raphael?
He was orange.
Psi.
He was
Psi. Orange. Two Psi.
Have you ever read the psychology of why they gave each turtle's personality the weapons that they have?
Ooh, no. Does it match the names?
Yes, very much so. Just check it out. I'm not going to screw it up by telling you guys, but it's very interesting.
Okay.
Way to bring up something and just leave us hanging.
Yeah. And just
find it up. Learn something.
Yeah.
I'm learning stuff right now.
Discovery.
Listen to a book.
It's the same as reading. I had the same argument with Bobby all the time.
Oh, I love it.
It's the same thing. No, it's not. Why is it different?
You listen to a...
not your own voice.
You know, Crimes and Sports.
When you read, you're reading your own...
I don't like listening to my own voice on this podcast. I sure as hell don't want to do it with the
neither
book.
Do I.
Yeah. I'm just saying, listening is just as good.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. Question number 10. He took a quill and a dream of freedom and penned a document that changed history. Who was this founding father that wrote the original draft of the Declaration of Independence? Nick's thinking it through. Brian looks really good and confident. Yep, he's got it. It's in his wheelhouse. Got to do some Revolutionary War action going. I like that. I like that. We're going to write that one soon. Kelly, feel like you got 10 to 10 here?
I think so.
Scotty?
Perhaps.
Oh, I don't like that suspense. How about you, Nick? You got a good answer down?
Oh, yeah. I hope Brian and I have the same answer.
Okay.
Oh, no. Neither one of us are in this game anymore.
Yeah, touche. He took a quill and a dream of freedom and penned a document that changed history. Who is this founding father that wrote the original draft of the Declaration of Independence? Let's see the board.
Hold on. You guys were Herbie Hancock, did
Well done. Thomas Jefferson from Brian and Kelly and Scotty and Herbie Hancock from Nick, sure enough. It is TJ. We've got a 10 out of 10. Not once, but twice.
Wow.
Well done, gentlemen. Well done.
Brian, we are so stupid.
Yeah, they're moving on to the sixth grade. We're staying behind.
Man.
Well, let's go ahead and get a final score tally so we know just how long you guys got to go back to fifth grade for.
Well, Brian and I both got 4.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. Although I think Herbie Hancock is still the correct answer.
Okay. Yep.
I will dispute that. But Scott and Kelly.
Man.
10 for 10.
Yeah.
10 piece.
Amen. You are smarter than, well, we don't want
to. So is the winner going to be 11 out of 10?
Oh.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, unless you nail it right on the number.
Is extraordinarily impossible here.
Okay.
All right. Well, not impossible. Let me rephrase that. It is highly unlikely. All right. You ready? What is the exact distance in miles that light travels in 1 second, as we learn in our fifth grade elementary science education?
Come on, guys. Really?
We didn't teach. There wasn't a ton of science in my Catholic grade school.
yeah, that's right. That's contradictory, wasn't it?
Evolution. Never heard of it.
What's the exact distance in miles that light travels in 1 second? That's right. We're doing some math. I don't know what math we could be doing exactly, but I respect it, I guess.
In miles?
Miles. In 1 second. What is the exact distance in miles that light travels? Oh, I know what they're doing. I know what math they're working.
You don't.
Okay. My bad.
Just writing a number
I know
down.
Some math that you
nobody
could work
knows.
And probably nobody knows.
I do not know that math.
All right. Reference. Kelly's getting his answer finalized. I'll read it nice and slow one last time. What is the exact distance in miles that light travels in 1 second? 3, 2, 1.5. And I think he's done.
It'd be great if this was decided on you calling time.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
For not being able to write the number.
Whatever it is, it's shorter than the time it took him to write this answer.
Touche. That's all right. I hope he gets it dead on the nose.
That'd be cool.
Let's see it, guys. All right. We have got 100,000 miles from Kelly, 1,480,000 and 1 mile from Scott. The correct answer is 186,282 miles.
Good job, Kelly.
Delivering
100?
The 100, perfect
that's impressive.
Experience to the listener, flexing his fifth grade muscle. As wow. We've already discussed.
This is a new song.
No, we gave it to Scotty, too.
Oh, did
and,
we?
Okay. Oh, nice.
He hit perfection. You got any words of wisdom to impart on your inferior...
No one is inferior.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, but we were inferior today.
We were very inferior.
Yeah.
Just
I don't feel bad about it necessarily.
Okay.
Fifth grade was easy. I retained that information.
Yeah. I did not.
Times like this, though, you know, I remember the Titans.
Oh, that's my dude right there.
25.
I got to live vicariously.
20-something straight episodes. 20-something straight. This is episode 25.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was what, episode 3? So we'll go 22-ish. Roughly episodes
I don't
in a
think
row.
We missed a beat, man.
No, we did not.
Goodness. Well, very good. Well done, Kelly. And this is a topic that will resurface. We end our episode titles with a Roman numeral. Currently, all of them are 1. But back to school, you can be sure, will likely be our
first
again. Multiple Roman numeral.
Sure.
All right. So let's go ahead and move on to the bonus question. And I'm not going to assign it to somebody, but each person's going to have their turn. I just want you to give us a glimpse of a day in your life in fifth grade. You would have been 10, 11 years old. It doesn't have to be school-related per se. But what was important to you? Who was important to you? Who'd you hang out with? What did day in the life look like?
It's fantastic that you asked that.
Yeah, so let's have
grade,
it, B.
For fifth grade for me, so I remember my teacher, Ms. Durstein. My fifth grade teacher. What I remember more importantly, though, was I became friends, good friends with a kid, Rob Ware, who's passed away since then, but he had muscular dystrophy. He was in a wheelchair.
Okay.
So that's what I remember most, is me and him pushing around, having fun. Yeah, that's...
You're such a good dude, B. Yeah. Now, that's awesome that that's what
that's,
you
remember. That's the first thing that pops in my head. You
know. I know, Rob. Yeah, I grew up with him on bases, brother Charlie.
Yep, and I became really good friends with his brother, actually, in high school. But me and Robert, we were boys, yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. What were you wearing?
Oh, what was I wearing?
Probably whatever
the new kids on the block are wearing.
So you
the
got
hair
some,
definitely was
yeah. there. It was there.
Beautiful. It was there. It was beautiful and blonde.
It was luscious. Were you paying attention to fashion yet in fifth grade?
Yeah, I was very much.
So you knew good shoe trends and all that stuff. Yeah.
I remember getting in a fight in fifth grade with Dave Hamilton, who's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, one of your best friends.
And yeah, he ripped my shirt, and I wasn't crying because I was hurt. I was crying because my shirt got ripped. It was a new shirt.
Oh yeah,
and I was upset about that.
Anybody else who's
this is a new Gordon Cartrell?
They made it pretty clear I don't remember anything from fifth grade.
Yeah,
so I couldn't tell you a day in the life of fifth grade. I have no idea.
And it entailed either wiffle ball or baseball.
I mean it was sports all the time. Yeah. You know, I had a uniform, so you know I didn't have special shirts.
Oh sure.
You know, no, I don't remember anything from my fifth grade life. Nothing.
I remember, as I alluded to earlier and in a previous episode, I changed schools because I went to a Catholic grade school the first 4 years. And then they and this is not a joke, they strongly recommended to my parents that I would be a better fit for the public school system. So fifth grade is when I made the transition. Now, like you guys, I played sports and all of my sports friends went to public school. So I was pretty dang excited about that change. It was when I started paying attention specifically to fashion. I remember getting the first pair of shoes that I cared what shoes I got was in fifth grade. But my first love for the majority of my life was baseball, and that's really all that I remember specifically about my childhood is just playing baseball absolutely every chance I got.
Sports every day.
So you did bring up another memory from that year, though. So Rob at the time, he was in a wheelchair most of the time, but he could stand up and walk for short distances. So I do remember at school during recess pitching him wiffle balls.
Oh, cool.
It's because he could stand up. And so that's another memory, yeah.
Well, when did your family – moved because you had lived a few different places. When did
I mean, I was born here and then we moved around for about 6 years, came back in first grade. Okay. So, I mean, we lived four places in those. I mean, I did. I lived in Phoenix, Massachusetts, and then Southern Illinois, and then over in Joplin, Missouri. So, several places in a handful of years,
And we're only a year apart. And you lived, I was close with Stook. You lived across the street from Stook. Our paths crossed all the time.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Doc? What's a day in the life of the good doctor look like in 10 years old?
Well, I'm going to have to take this opportunity to talk about this, which is the summer after fifth grade, which is when me, a guy named Bob, a guy named Chaz, and a guy named Ford started our wiffle ball journey. School got out. We rode our bikes up to Motomart, which is a convenience store. We bought two packs of baseball cards. And from those two packs, you had to create a lineup, and that became your lineup for the whole summer. We would play one-on-one.
Yes.
Yeah. This is just feeling.
I love it.
Bathing us in nostalgia.
And he's talking about wiffle ball.
Wiffle ball.
Yeah.
We had a wiffle ball league, the four of us, where we just took turns playing each other from sun up till sundown the entire summer. And it would be one-on-one. Third person out would be the umpire, and the other person would keep stats. So we actually kept stats all season. If you were a pitcher, you had to bat opposite-handed when that came up in the lineup.
Oh, wow.
We played National League rules.
I remember that rule.
I want to get this clear.
I love it.
You created a lineup with these baseball cards.
Yes.
Nine-player lineup.
Right. 1987 tops.
Wow.
And you would obviously be the batter. But each time, if you made it the first out, you made then the next.
So if Paul Molitor was my number three hitter, when I came up to bat.
You were Paul Molitor.
I was Paul Molitor, and I would keep stats as Paul Molitor.
Yes, this is what's fascinating to me. Was there someone in the lineup that would stand out? Like, would you hit better the third time you hit? Or, you know what I'm, do you understand what I'm asking?
Well,
you're ESPN analyze.
Right.
Yeah. That's deep.
Well, you would think it would.
This is before data analytics with
sabermetrics.
Yeah, sabermetrics and everything. And then to cap it all off, at the end, we had an all-star game where we voted on the best players of our own team.
That's incredible.
And we sold tickets 50 cents a pop. We had four people show up, so we made $2.
who showed up?
Yeah,
The neighborhood kids.
Oh, that's funny. The parents didn't care.
Yep.
No.
And yours truly won the All-Star game.
That way, Scott.
Walk-off grand slam that John Ford dropped.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
He was at the fence.
Yeah. Well, we had this massive tree. If you hit it into the tree, gotcha. It was a home run unless you caught it.
Oh, okay.
So it trickled down out of a tree.
Plinko
and John,
style.
And John dropped it. And that led to the only fight I ever remember happening between John and Bob.
And Bob, what was Bob's side? What was the disagreement?
I don't know. Well, I mean, they could probably tell you. I don't remember what happened, but Bob got into John's face. Uh-huh. And I think Chaz's mom had to come break it up and send us home each with our 50 cents.
Your 50 cents. He split it all the problem.
You're technically pro at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Bob we're referencing is Nick's older brother. Right. So in an odd way, that was kind of the butterfly that flapped its wings to start the crew here.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes, that is amazing.
No, that them playing wiff ball was everything to myself and my younger brother. We could not wait to be able to be good enough to possibly play with them.
Yeah.
We never got to at that age.
Right.
You know, not till we're older, but we used the same rules. They did whatever rules they set, that we did the same thing. We bought the baseball cards. You had to bat left-handed. When we played, like, we even batted as that player.
Yeah, they were big brothers.
Yeah. But if it was, like he mentioned Paul Molitor, but whatever the hitter was, you had to swing like them. You had to try to
that
imitate.
Changes things a little bit.
But that's what we did.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when we got to that point is we would try. So if, you know, if you had Griffey, you tried to bat like Griffey or Tony Gwynn. So you try to put the ball in play.
Slapping,
Yeah. I remember being Mo Vaughn, big, humongous uppercut.
Sure.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Love it.
That stuff I remember.
Yeah.
Photosynthesis is useless to me. Give me wiffle ball.
Give me wiffle ball. That should be our mantra.
Mine's easy. I explained it earlier. It's the same scenario. Yeah. I don't need to repeat it, but that's exactly my day. And I think I explained maybe sixth grade. That was the same for four years in a row.
Did you have a specific idol at that point for your basketball idol?
Michael,
I know that seems silly, but not everybody.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And were you paying attention? Was anybody else? We didn't get to these two, Scotty and Nick. Were you paying attention to fashion yet at this point? I don't know why that is on top of my mind, but that is an era that kind of took hold for me.
Shoes mattered.
Shoes. Yes.
Again, I went to Catholic grade school.
That's all I really
mean. Catholic grade school had uniforms. The only thing that was yours were your shoes.
Yeah. No.
So those were a big deal, at least amongst the boys.
Individuality.
Those were a big deal. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. That was a fun blast from the past. And that's it for today's episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and drop us a line. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and those bellies laughing.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.